Thanks a million, Ray.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon. How you doing? Happy Friday. 51551 for your text. Ray at rte.ie for your emails. Hope you're looking forward to the weekend. Let us know what you're up to. I don't know about you, but that week flew, did it not? And a reminder, actually, that all our chats on the show over the past few days are up on the RTE radio player or wherever you get your podcasts. And two of my favourite interviews this week were with Aisling Bea, who's the star of the new Take That movie, Greatest Days, which hits cinemas today if you're looking for something to do this evening. And loved chatting to Victoria Kennefic, who was the Irish poet who showed up on the Leaving Cert exam. So you can check those out on the RTE radio player. And speaking of the Leaving Cert, we actually have another pal of ours who has had a similar Leaving Cert claim to fame this week, our very own Sinead Ní Uachtaráin, who was splashing around a pool in Laois for us yesterday. She just found out that her podcast Beo Ar Éigean, which she co-hosts with Áine and Siúan, also featured on the Leaving Cert Irish Oral exam. Now this might trigger some people, so beware.
Cuid sí. Lé inis go cúramach ar de scrúd fáipéir na tróidhe agus na ceistine a ghaon le cuid sí.
Oh, remember that? Oh God, flashback to a sweaty hall and struggling to hear every word, hoping you could catch some semblance of what was being said. Well, as you can imagine, our Sinead was hard on gealach, over the moon, when she heard the news.
It was so weird. It was so surreal. We started to receive messages from students and teachers and parents. They were sliding into our DMs telling us that we had appeared on the Irish Leaving Cert examination. And like that, I was back in the hall room listening to the tape, listening to the beep. Leignish go cúramach na tróracha, etc, etc. So I hope everybody got on really well in the exam, and I hope you understood what was being said about Beo Ar Éigean. And needless to say, the Beo Ar Éigean WhatsApp group between myself and Áine and Siúan was lit for the rest of the evening. Agus gnáirí go gal leis na héine a há a mun scrú the he sna leihinta agus sna seachtaní roin. Best of luck.
Mahan, Colleen, Sinead, fair play. Great news for her. All right, we've got a busy show ahead today. We have a live session with Kerry singer-songwriter Pa Sheehy. We are going to be talking all things creepy crawlies with Colly Ennis. He is turning up at the Kaleidoscope Festival. We've got our whodunit quiz, as always. And the Currabinny boys, James Kavanagh and William Murray, are dropping in for a chat. So I'm looking forward to all of that. But earlier today, RTE announced that Ireland will once again be taking part in the annual Eurovision Song Contest, which will be held in Sweden in May 2024, as we know, after their artist Loreen was crowned Queen of Eurovision for the second time. And we're going to be chatting more about this in a couple of minutes with some Eurovision superfans. But we'd be really interested to know what you would like to see for Ireland in 2024, because when you look back, it seems we have tried just about every avenue going and it's not hitting the mark. So what would you do differently to ensure that Ireland qualify next year? 51551 or ray at rte.ie, because we had such big hopes and I thought Wild Youth were incredible this year. So are we just going down the wrong path? Are we, you know, let us know what your thoughts are. And as I said, we're going to be talking all things Eurovision in a couple of minutes' time. Now, last week, you might have heard us talking about the elusive Irish cuckoo. We spoke to a great guy called Sam Bailey. He's a conservation ranger with the National Parks and Wildlife Service about their new project, which is tracking Irish cuckoos, because they really want to solve the mystery of where exactly they spend their winter months. It's the first time they've ever been tracked, and you can follow their journey online. You can check them out. It's the Killarney National Park website. And there has been a bit of news since we spoke to Sam, so he sent us this update this afternoon.
Hey Catherine, I just wanted to give you a quick update on what's happening with our cuckoos. Since last Friday, things have changed quite dramatically. Karen and KP are basically still sticking around their breeding grounds. We've had two of our birds have started making their big migration. So Cause and Talk seem to be in a sort of fighting over who can get the furthest. Both of them are now currently in France. Talk has made his way as far as South France, but they're really making sort of big guns of it and way ahead of any of the other birds that have been tagged this year, which are all still sticking to their local areas.
Great stuff there. I love the fact that they all have names and you can follow them, as I said, on the Killarney National Park website. And that was Sam Bailey I was chatting to there. All right, let's get some music. Turn this one up because it's Friday. The one and only brilliant Sinead O'Connor with Mandinka there. Catherine, hearing that oral exam tape brought me out in hives. I'm sure you're not the only one. Talking all things Eurovision and what needs to be done for 2024. We need something wild and fun. It's more about the stage presence than the song. We need a good Celtic banger, says another listener. We always did well with ballads. A regional song contest needs to happen with finals and a big national final competition. It should be televised like Ireland's Got Eurovision Talent. Let the up and coming singers and composers have a real opportunity. And I think Lyra could represent Ireland in the Eurovision. All right, lots of differing opinions coming in there. Keep them coming in, 51551, because as I said, we will be talking all things Eurovision after this. Yes, it is our whodunit quiz, and we are going to get two of you on air after 4 o'clock. And every week, we ask two people to come on air and answer three whodunit questions on anything. It could be music, sport, TV, books, politics, films, and like all whodunits, there will be clues. So if you answer without a clue, you get 2 points. However, if you opt for a clue because it's slightly easier and you get it right, you will get 1 point, and we have a fantastic prize. This week, all week, we've teamed up with Mayo North Tourism to give away some lovely breaks. Located on a stunning rugged part of the Wild Atlantic Way, breathtaking natural coastline and miles of pristine beaches to explore, North Mayo is a year-round destination. And today, specifically, we are giving away a two-night stay with breakfast each morning and dinner on one evening in the stylish award-winning Ice House Hotel. Overlooking the River Moy and the woodlands beyond, the Ice House is an escape from the ordinary with a bounty of beauty, adventure and history right on your doorstep. It really is spectacular, and you can find out more by visiting mayonorth.ie. All right, to be in with a chance of winning this fantastic prize, all you've got to do is answer this question. A new documentary on Wham is coming to Netflix next month. But which George was in the band? Was it Boy George or George Michael? Boy George or George Michael? Who was in Wham? Give us a call, 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. Back after this.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right, just to remind you of our quiz today, it is a fantastic prize. It is a two-night stay with breakfast each morning and dinner on one evening in the stylish Ice House Hotel in North Mayo. So again, somebody was looking for the question. A new documentary on Wham is coming to Netflix next month. Which George was in the band? Was it Boy George or George Michael? And all you got to do is give us a call on 0818 715 925. That number again is 0818715925. And if you're not in, you can't win, lads. That'll be a nice prize of a Friday. All right, we were talking earlier on about the exciting news for Irish Eurovision fans, because submissions have already opened for the 2024 contest that is due to take place in Sweden. So RTÉ has said they're looking for contemporary performers and songwriters with the talent and ambition to compete and succeed in a highly competitive environment. So what would make the cut? Who better to ask than the hosts of Eurovision podcast, Connor and Lou, who are encyclopedic about all things Eurovision. And I was kind of going back through my like back catalogue of Irish entries, and I said Dustin, Brooke Scullion, Nicky Byrne. Well, Nicky Byrne, I'd forgotten about Nicky. And we had Ryan, obviously Ryan O'Shaughnessy. So like people are saying, you know, we've kind of got to go back to ballads, or other people are saying we've got to go crazy. It's all about stage performance. I think we've tried everything. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, we have. I think, in fairness, we haven't not tried every genre, every style of music. But I think it's more so just about the song quality at the end of the day. Okay. And I think now we're kind of thinking that it's just authenticity. That's the most important thing. It needs to be true to the artist. Needs to be modern. Needs to, you know, grip a nation, not only in Ireland, but also around Europe, who are the ones voting at the end of the day. So that's the most important thing. I think it just needs to be true to the artist itself. So
okay. So it is a little earlier for submissions this year, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And that's something that Eurovision fans have been sort of calling for in Ireland. So it's brilliant that the delegation are doing this and taking this on board. I think it's going to make a huge difference this year, just to leave the submission period open for longer, encourage more artists to join in. It gives more time if they already have songs that they're working on or songs in mind. It just means we're going to get a greater variety of songs hopefully being submitted.
Mm. And when you think about it, like having that whole summer period from now to September, it is a creative time for a lot of people. A lot of people are out there touring as well. So to actually be even showcasing material and putting it out there, it's a great time to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And also as well, you know, for the artists planning ahead for next year, a lot of them would have gigs already in the pipeline. Mm. You know, they can block off next year if they were interested in doing Eurovision, just to reserve it to have time to, you know, potentially if they were to get through and represent Ireland, because, you know, it's not something in May now. It's literally starting from January with the pre-parties. If there is a national final in February, from then on, it's literally bang, bang, bang. Every week it's Eurovision.
OK, you are going to educate me on all things Eurovision over the next couple of minutes. But let's start with the winner of this year's competition, because you were both big fans of Loreen and who won it for the second time. First time round was with Euphoria.
Yeah.
Amazing track. Mm-hmm. Love that one. And let's have a listen to what gave her the crown. You both did the hand, yeah. The hand dance at the same time while looking
exposing
at each other.
Us, Captain. Yeah.
We couldn't help it.
Yeah. So why did she win? Why did she win?
Oh, Loreen isn't a singer. She's an artist. You know, everything she does, there's meaning behind everything. Meaningful movement, meaningful lyrics. Everything she does is a package. It's well thought out. She isn't an artist who throws out songs for the wrong reasons. She really believes in the songs. And if, you know, when you listen to this song in studio, it's fantastic and it's an earworm and it's catchy. But on top of all of that, the stage performance was just so eye-catching. It was so original. It's not really like anything we had had in Eurovision before.
And simple, but mind-blowing at the same time.
Yeah, and camera angles was a big thing for her. You know, just simple movement of camera angles, getting good shots of her. And the Swedish delegation have just always been brilliant for upping their game, trying new things. And they're one of the big players really in modernising Eurovision. So it is not a huge surprise that it's their third win in this century.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was there another song that you love from this year as well, Louise?
Yes, I was a big fan of Czechia. It was a group of six women, Vesna, My Sister's Crown.
Okay, let's take a listen. Very different and very kind of its geographical place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very folky entry. It's very true to that region, you know, in Central Europe. And again, like I said with Loreen, it was a package. They had staging ideas. They had great styling. They had hairography going on. They had the hair spinning around. They had great choreography. And they really kind of transmitted the message of their song on the stage really well and as well on the camera across to television viewers.
Okay, and then we're going to quickly listen to Finland's entry. Kerja, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Kerja.
So this was a mix of rap and chanting and K-pop. Like, it was the whole thing. And of course, this was the neon green performance, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a listen. Silti mulla vielä nama. Mä oon tulossa. Pidän kaksi käsi kiinni juomista niinku. Ei, en mieti huomista, kun tartun tuopista niinku. Ei, on olla sekasin ja vapaa huolista niinku. that is Eurovision, because that is just bonkers and wild and out there. Is that what we need to be doing?
Oh, I don't know if we can do that.
It depends on the artist. Yeah. Only if it works for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about the artist then. Like, who have we got out there? Who's on the scene? Who would you be putting forward? We've got a million texts coming in here with all sorts of suggestions about what we need to do. But for the two of you, you're big Eurovision fans. Who would you put out there?
Oh, God, there's so many that, you know, you could go for. For me, I think Lyra is always the one that's mentioned with Eurovision fans. Not necessarily, you know, a U2 level kind of artist, because I don't think we're going to attract that. But it's these up and coming rising artists that are, you know, doing so well, not only here, but also in the UK and across Europe, that are still rising within the ranks. And I think someone like Lyra, for me, Lucy Blue, I love her music. She's upcoming as well. But there's like loads of artists that are interested that, you know, we've heard from, you know, Imlay is also one.
Yeah, Imlay and Shebeil are two I would definitely back, and Irish language representation as well would be lovely to have on the Eurovision stage. I think there are a lot more artists interested than we think, but this longer submission period is hopefully really going to help to attract them. I mean, there's so many talented Irish artists that we hear on the radio, Denise Chyla, Cian Ducrow, there's so many brilliant people out there. And if we could attract our biggest and our brightest, it would be brilliant.
Okay. Well, look, the closing date for the songs this year is 29th of September, as we said. And the submission form has set a shortlist of songs, and attached performers will subsequently be invited to perform on television early in 2024, when a winner will be selected to represent Ireland in accordance with the selection process to be confirmed by RTE. Now, we don't know yet what that televised format will be. Do you think that the public should be involved in the selection process, or should it just be a panel of experts or a mix, maybe?
I think for us at the moment, I think it just needs to focus on getting a song.
Okay.
You know, I think down the road, national finals are brilliant because, of course, having, you know, a wide selection, not only getting a winner to represent us at a Eurovision, but also showcasing Irish music to an Irish audience on television. I think that's brilliant. But I think just if the goal is to get to the final, do well at Eurovision, simply just focusing on getting a song that will do well should be the mentality. But if a national final is the way to go, definitely the public should have a say. Mm. But it's also worth remembering as well that we're not the one's voting either. You know, it is the international audience that ends up giving us points, so maybe giving them a bit more of a say that than we already do might be an option too. But definitely the public should have a say in it, because you know, they're representing the country at the end of the day.
And I get where you're coming from, Conor. You're talking about the song, but stage presence is so important as well.
You gotta have the package.
You have to have the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And even when you were watching the various performers, like as you said, it's down to costume, it's down to hair, it's down to lighting, it's down to choreography. I mean, this has to be, as you said, like it's the full 360, isn't it?
And you have to do it in 3 minutes, and you have to make that impression, because, you know, in a semi-final, there's 18, 19 songs performing. But then if you were to get to the final, 26 songs, you know, you need to stand out within those 3 minutes. So that's not necessarily saying do wacky stuff, but again, just stay authentic to yourself, have the full package of the costume, staging, everything like that.
Mm. Yeah. And is there a certain amount of, you know, when we talk about the politics of the Eurovision, I mean, it is about going out there and now trying to get songs and artists into smaller countries, trying to get the radio play. I mean, all of that is such a big part of it as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I think there's been countries all around Europe that have been doing a fantastic job with more limited resources than other countries have. Czechia is a great example. I keep calling them kind of the indie powerhouse of Eurovision. They don't have a huge amount of resources. It's modest, but they've been building it up over the last few years, getting radio play, backing their artist going into Eurovision, and they're qualifying year in, year out. So it is doable for a smaller nation.
Okay. I follow Eurovision, says Paul, every year and love it. We're too professional. We kind of need to go a bit crazy. Well, we've talked about that. Run a proper selection like Melfest in Sweden. Genuinely ask Jedward their thoughts. They have really good ideas on this. Look to small countries like Belgium and Finland to see what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Jedward? You were kind of nodding there for that.
Jedward were great for, you know, the time, but I think
about Jedward, yeah.
They've had their chance. They did as well, and you know, they represented the country great, and they're brilliant.
Yeah. So what are they doing in Melfest in Sweden then?
Well, we went to Melfest this year together, and it's such a large scale event. It's 8 weeks long, I believe, and it's, you know, qualifying heats and two go through in each round, and there's a wild card round, and then it's a big final at the end of it.
It's bigger there than Eurovision is.
Yeah, it's huge. So maybe not for us. I think if our love for Eurovision exploded maybe years to come, but I think that kind of scale of a show is impossible at the moment, unfortunately. But
a lot of people talking about going back to our ballads, going back to, you know, that kind of that softer, like really channeling the Irish ballad. Where do you guys stand on that?
I have no issue with a ballad if it's a standout, memorable ballad. That, like, Ryan O'Shaughnessy is a great example of that, you know, in 2018. And it had beautiful staging as well. And it qualified and got us a decent result. So I have no issue.
And the message with that song was so powerful.
It was, again, full package. But I don't think just saying send a ballad is necessarily the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has to be the right ballad. And we can do upbeat songs well too. I think Brooke did a fantastic job last year.
Yeah. Why does it have to be a song exclusively for Eurovision? A song should be written to be a number one hit, not just Eurovision. Start now, songwriters. That comes in from Jer.
Absolutely. And you know, you see Loreen, Tattoo, like that's still in the charts across Europe, and that's not necessarily the Eurovision song that people, I think that view that there's a Eurovision song, it's no longer there anymore. I think we're moving more to more just, you know, good music. That's it. Since about 2021, I think it's really amped up. Okay. Just finding the right song.
C-Mat would be amazing.
Yes.
Catherine Cha-Cha-Cha Finland was robbed and the Swedish song was crap. Why not just get someone like Neil Hannon to compose a winner, says Ed. Mm-hmm. Do what Loreen did, a familiar sound, nostalgia. Her song began with a familiar sound. It sounded like ABBA's Winner Takes It All, and we were all hooked at the start. There you go. All right, well, as I said, the conversations will rumble on, and the closing date for submissions is 6 o'clock Friday, September 29th. And any song that you'd like to submit has to go through the portal on the rte.ie website, where you can find all the rules and terms and conditions. So Conor and Lou, thank you so much for coming into us today. And since we spoke about Queen Loreen, shall we play out with her?
Absolutely.
I think Tattoo deserves an owl run out, doesn't it? That is Loreen there with Tattoo from Sweden, the Swedish winning entry. And talking all things Eurovision, Catherine, costumes, choreography, lighting. Can we just go back to the times when the Eurovision was a song competition? Get rid of the public vote, which is a popularity vote and has nothing to do with quality or lack of quality of the songs. And that comes in from Gráinne in Dunboyne. The insult of sending Dustin will probably never be forgotten by fellow Europeans, says another listener. Two of the reasons why Ireland haven't won since 1996. Number one, increase in number of countries plus the semi-finals, and number two, text voting. All right, I'll try to get to a few more of them, but for now, I've got to take a break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you may have noticed more insects flying around over the past month during this hot spell, but have you spotted any cane toads, scorpions, salamanders? Well, Colly Ennis, Research Associate in Zoology at TCD and host of the Critter Shed podcast, is with me, and he has all three of those things, a menagerie of fantastic creatures. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, I'm very well.
Good, good. Happy Friday, I think. I'm looking
so
at those
far.
Boxes. And last week we had five big, huge Irish wolfhounds in here that took up the whole studio, and I think I was happier then than I am now. But anyway, no, they're contained.
They're contained and they're quite small and they're very well behaved.
They're very well behaved. And it's just, I have a fear, like frogs and toads. I don't know what it is. Snakes, spiders, scorpions, grand. But like it's the froggy, toady thing.
Everybody has one.
Yeah,
everybody
that's
has
mine.
Some animal that kind of just creeps them out. My wife is slugs.
Okay,
so
okay.
There you go.
Well, you're going to the Kaleidoscope Festival at Rusborough House, which is the family festival in Blessington, County Wicklow, on the 30th of June, with the intention, I suppose, of trying to dispel a lot of that, because a lot of kids going to be there, and most kids
kids love it. Yeah, love, that's how I started.
Yeah. So you're going to be bringing all these little critters with you.
I am, yeah. And I think the idea is when we show all these wonderful animals, we get kids interested, sparks an interest, more so than if you just brought a ladybird or something small. But in getting them interested in the more exotic stuff, you kind of build that passion for conservation in their garden, getting an interest in flipping logs and looking for slugs and snails. And, you know, it's that's the idea behind the whole thing.
And I think the narrative has kind of changed. Like, I see my little one now, if there's ants or flies in the house, you know, and I'd be sorry to say now, but I'd be lashing him with the tea towel, you know, whereas she'd be, you know, with the piece of paper trying to out the door.
People are a lot more conscious now of kind of looking after the creepy crawlies and the lesser loved creatures of the world, and
Yeah, because we know now how important they are. So just before we get into them, because I know I mentioned like lots of insects, are we seeing more than normal because of the weather?
Yeah, it's perfect insect weather. It's very warm, as we've noticed. Yeah. And it's very muggy. And we're getting kind of spells of rain in between, which is perfect for insects. And a lot of people's gardens are literally buzzing, for want of a better word, with all sorts of pollinators and bees and wasps and all those great creatures that we need. Lots of beetles around as well. So it's perfect conditions for inverts. If you notice on your car, a lot of people have been commenting on this and asking me questions about it. They're starting to see bug splatter on the front of their cars, which kind of had disappeared for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So that's a really good sign of a healthy ecosystem. It's not great for your car, obviously, because you have to wash it down. But that was a big thing back when we were kids in the 80s. Your dad would be out scrubbing the car after
every day,
drive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that kind of went away for a while because insect numbers seem to have dropped down. It's good to see it back.
Okay, that is good news. You know, it's very rare we're hearing good news, about our climate and our culture and all that. Are we seeing anything really big or unusual? You know, because everyone's talking about the temperatures being higher here. Mm-hmm. So are we getting any weird and wonderful stuff from the continent that's flying up?
Well, over the last 20 years, we've gotten some beautiful big dragonflies coming in, like the emperor dragonfly, which moved up from the Mediterranean up across the UK. And you can actually track it year on year with all the data that people were bringing in. And now it's well established and flying up and down the canals of Ireland and Dublin. And it's doing very well here. And that's a kind of a trend. If we continue to stay warm for longer periods, that's a trend that's going to continue. You're going to have animals, because especially invertebrates, especially bugs, very good at stowing away or creeping away into our goods and services that come into the country. Two of them get out, they do what they do, and then you have a whole population.
Okay. Well, let's meet some of your little friends today. We have Ellen in studio with us, who is our social media queen. She's going to be putting stuff up later on. And Ellen, first of all, I have to embarrass you and say congratulations, because you got engaged last week.
Thanks, Catherine.
Tell us, where was it? Where did it all happen?
Oh my God, you actually want to know?
Yes, of course.
We were on holidays in Menorca celebrating our 30th, which is why I thought we were away, and then he surprised me.
Oh,
he'll die now if he hears
this. Legend, you legend, Cathal. Fair play to you, and congratulations again. To celebrate Ellen's engagement, we have this. Who's this now? That's our cane toad.
So this is a cane toad. Yes, and if you've ever been to Australia, you probably would have seen cane toads, because they've basically taken over the country there. They were originally from South America, and they were introduced to Australia around 1922. Eat the cane, the beetle that was eating the sugar cane. But they didn't eat the beetle, they had everything else. And nothing could eat them, because they are highly toxic, and any animal that eats them ends up dying. So they've really, really decimated a lot of the
wildlife.
And
it's not their bellies, it's their back. It's their toxic
back.
On their
these
back.
Lumps on the side of their head and on their back. They have the toxins there. Now, there's been a lot of good news lately about cane toads. Naturally, crows and magpies in Australia, very clever animals, clever birds. They've learned that if they flip them over, they can eat them from the bottom up.
Wow.
So that's fantastic.
Okay. Because there was so many government initiatives as to how they were going to try and control them, right?
Now there's a new thing as well. They've found out that cane toad tadpoles are quite cannibalistic. So they've made a scent that they put in a kind of a lobster pot, put it in the lake where the tadpoles are. The tadpoles think, oh, there's some dinner. They all swim into it, and you can remove massive amounts of the young cane toads. So this is a fantastic way of getting rid of them. So their numbers are slowly but surely getting under control. But a real good example of how an invasive species can set up shop somewhere and really cause chaos.
Mm-mm. You're holding him very tight there. He's
legs here, and you see it puffing himself up. This is the self-defense mechanism. Kind of like if you ever saw Shrek, where he blew up the frog and used it as a balloon.
Oh, what just fell off him there? Something just fell off
him. Oh, that's just a bit of dirt.
Okay.
Sorry.
And what's his name?
I don't. I don't.
You don't have
a name.
Oh,
no,
okay. Oh, jeez. He nearly jumped out of the box. Put the lid on. Oh, okay.
That's your worst one out of the way.
Yeah, no, can't do them. I don't know why. So? Says me now. I'm probably not going to be much better with this. Okay,
but this is a salamander.
Oh, he's cute.
He's very cute.
He is cute. Like him. Okay, try and describe him to us.
So salamanders look like lizards, but they're very slimy because they're more closely related to frogs.
Okay.
So you can imagine a very moist, wet lizard with a very smiley head.
Oh.
And this is black and yellow. And that indicates to anybody who wants to have a munch on a Mr. Fox, Mr. Hedgehog, that he's going to be very distasteful, probably giving him a bit of a tummy ache.
Okay.
This guy would originally have come from, his species comes from North America. So you'd see a lot of them around ponds and streams, around forests at breeding time. But for the rest of the year, they kind of stay underground, and hence the name mole salamanders.
Okay, okay. He's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. They're quite, he's quite active there, isn't
very
he?
Very active, yeah. Probably looking for food. They love eating. It's unbelievable.
And are all of them that, with that, have they all got that marking on their skin, or is that just that particular breed?
Most salamanders and newts will have some kind of marking on their skin, and usually it's quite bright combined with something dark, and that again is an indication to please don't eat me because you're going to be sick.
Okay. And do they live under the ground?
Yeah,
they live under the ground.
They literally, like, I basically have a fairly large enclosure for my tiger salamanders, and it just looks empty because they're just 2 or 3 foot under the ground munching on worms that you throw in, and occasionally you see a little head pop up and say hello or feed me, and that's it.
So describe to me, when you say your enclosure, like, where mm-hmm. do you, obviously you have
a purpose-built room
mm-hmm. in the house?
Outside the house. I'd be divorced.
Okay. And is your wife into insects and...
More so than she used to be, but it was kind of a package deal. So
you came with them and they came with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So describe the room outside then that you have all these...
It's basically like it'd be like if you're going into a zoo with all the enclosures along the wall. If you go into zoos that have a lot of smaller creatures, that's what I have. But it's mostly arachnids, which would be tarantulas and scorpions, and then a few amphibians and a couple of big snakes.
And have you done any work with people who have a massive fear of, you know, insects or frogs or toads?
A couple of times.
I'm asking for a friend.
A couple of times I actually worked with my pal Keith Barry in getting people over their fears. Soldiers who are going to the Leb, stuff like that they really can't be afraid.
Yes.
Of spiders and creepy crawlies. So yeah, a couple of times it's been done.
Okay. What else have you on the agenda today? This is our scorpion.
Yes. And she's not in a good
mood.
Notice
the way, Ellen, I have not put my hand out for anything as of yet. And I think that's going to be the way it's going to stay.
She, you can see there, she's quite, if you're looking there, she's quite active. I'll bring her over so you can see her on the camera. But she's
careful,
very, very feisty today. She can't jump.
She
thankfully.
Can't jump. Okay. Now, but this is a scorpion. Quite small, Collie.
Yeah, well, that's actually a mid-sized scorpion. She will get bigger. The rule of thumbs with scorpions is that the bigger they are, the less dangerous they are. Not 100% of the time, but most of the time.
Okay.
And if they have big, huge, chunky claws, you have less reason to be worried about getting stung by them. For example, horse sting would be like a bee sting.
Okay.
Now, the smaller desert scorpion species, they're the ones that tend to have very funky venom because of the harsh conditions they live in. If anything tries to eat them, they have to be able to defend themselves. Also, if they come across food, it can be very rare when they come across food. So they have to make sure that when they hit it, it's definitely going to become lunch.
Okay, they're very caring mothers.
Very
I've
caring, yes. Yeah. So she'll gestate the eggs inside her. And then when the babies come out, they're pure white, miniature scorpions, have all the equipment, but they're absolutely soft and white, like the cup here. And they'll all rest on her back, and she'll carry them around while they develop, and she'll feed them through a substance on her skin, and then they'll go through their first molt and wander off into the world.
Wow.
Yeah, so they really are attentive mothers and fantastic creatures. Like, scorpions are one of the first animals to walk out of the sea onto land.
Wow.
They're older than trees.
And
that's
what,
how
what
long
do
they've
they
been
eat?
Around. She'll eat anything that she can overpower. So mainly cockroaches and other invertebrates. But if a small frog or a mouse was to come across her, she'd definitely make a snack out of them.
Okay. And does she have a name? Or you don't name any of your little
Pinchy.
Beings?
Pinchy.
Pinchy. Pinchy. Oh, yeah. Pinchy. Okay. And did the salamander have a name?
I don't have a name for the salamander because I have so many of them.
Yes.
It's very hard to tell one from the
other. How many little critters have you got in your house?
Thousands, hundreds.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Yeah. And it depends if it is a breeding season with the tarantulas in particular, you get an awful lot of babies. So it goes up and down.
All right. Well, you are bringing the whole family to Kaleidoscope, but your family's slightly different to anybody else's that's going. But
exactly.
You and your gang are going. And as I said, it's the 30th of June, Rusborough House in Wicklow. Niall Rogers and Sheik are going to be there. Bewitched, Gavin James, Fun Loving Criminals are on the bill. Are you hoping that they'll come and pay you a visit?
I'd love to meet the Fun Loving Criminals and have them hold a scorpion. And
that would be a good one. All right, as I said, it is the 30th of June to the 2nd of July. And you can check out Collie's podcast, which is brilliant. It is the Critter Shed podcast. Collie, lovely to see you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And make sure you take them damn home with you.
I will.
Back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, to settle the nerves, we have live music today from Kerry singer-songwriter Pa Sheehy. Pa's EP, Lost in a 90s Arcade, is available now. And he was the front man of the band Walking on Cars. He is now going solo. His new single, Guided, is on the Radio 1 Recommends. It is flying. No surprise, because it's an absolutely gorgeous song. Great to see you, Pa. How are you keeping?
Yeah, very good. Thanks for having me in.
Not at all. Happy Friday. We're accompanied today by Sinead on keys. Great to see you, Sinead. But listen, we'll chat in a little minute, but... what are you going to play for us first?
I'm going to start with Guided.
Brilliant. Off you go.
Cheers.
Here I go now on the night train. Someone sleeping through the screen. Embrace if only I could shut it out. Don't you worry, I'll be home soon. I know it don't make much sense, but I just got some things to figure out. And even though I'm never on the ground.
Wow, Pa Sheehy. That is absolutely gorgeous. That is Guided, and that's his new single. Amazing. You must be delighted with how it's going as well. It's getting great play and it's been really well received.
Yeah. Thanks so much for playing it. Radio 1 have been unbelievable support. So yeah, really happy.
And come here, you've just been announced today on the lineup for the big Hyde Park gig in London in July.
Mm.
So I was looking at the names, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Lana Del Rey. That's a big one.
That's a big one, yeah. We're headlining the Rainbow stage on July.
Okay.
Saturday the 8th.
Brilliant.
But just found out last week, so that was our news today.
Happy days. Nice news to get coming into the weekend. And what's the plan for the summer? Are you touring?
So we've got a couple of festivals lined up. We've Galway Folk Festival, and then we're up in Buncrana for one, and then, like you say, the London one. So we're just doing rehearsals for that now and gathering the band. But we're actually rehearsing in a little school west of Dingle called the Shanskull.
Okay.
And we were rehearsing there about, it was the start of April. I was doing an acoustic tour, and it was three of us doing rehearsals, and we were playing in the middle of a song, and this lady just walked in halfway through the song and took no notice of us at all. Just didn't think we were there at all. And we're halfway through a tune, and she was looking at the pictures on the walls. And she was like really taking it in. And eventually she came around to us and we just finished the song. And she's like, who are ye? Are ye a band? And I was like, no, I'm a solo artist. And these are my buddies. They're playing with me. How are you getting on? She's like, yeah, good. Just on for the weekend. I'm Captain Thomas's mom.
Oh my God.
there you go. I was like, oh, wow.
Oh my God, that is so her. Yeah. That is so her. Oh, that is hilarious. Yeah. And so, she probably stayed chatting for about an hour. Did she leave you in peace
there,
at all?
She was there a good while. And like we were out in the sticks. Like we weren't like in Dingle. Like we were 10 miles west of Dingle.
Yeah.
Don't know how
she probably gave
us.
You the full history because she's a Kerry woman.
Yeah,
you know that. Oh yeah. You probably know more about her than I do now at this stage if you had that time with her. That is gas. Hilarious. Well, listen, Pat. What are you gonna? We've time for one more track. If you play it for us, what are you gonna play us out with?
This is a cover. It's a song called Suzanne by Leonard Cohen.
Brilliant. Take it away.
Suzanne takes you down to her place near the river. You can watch the boats go by and you can spend the night beside her. And you know that she's half crazy, but that's why you wanna be there. And she'll feed you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. Oh, just when you mean to tell her that you have no love to give her, but that she gets you on her wavelength. And she lets the river answer that you've always been her lover. And you'll want to travel with her, and you'll want to travel blind. For you know that you can trust her, for you've touched her perfect body with your mind.
Wow, oh my God. You have the voice of an angel, my friend, and the textures are going mad for you.
You're very kind.
Well done. That was incredible. Pa Sheehy, lovely to see you today.
Thank you so much.
And Sinead, thanks for coming up as well, for accompanying. And the EP is Lost in a 90s Arcade, which is available now. Great to see you.
Thanks a million.
Anish Toshian, I'm the Priya Shkelton, and Nuak Dilla Marion, the Hulawan. Gurmahagut Marion, and people asking about Pa's song again. The first one he did, which was his own single, was called Guided, and the EP again is Lost in a 90s Arcade. Other texts coming in. Thank you to Collie for highlighting the importance of insect life. Insect health is important to the health of our planet. Humans would vanish if the insects ever did. Treasure them. And then lots of Eurovision conversation. The Swedish winner was being played on the radio in Europe since February. You need to get the song out there good and early. Well, hopefully that will be the case now with the entries opening up much earlier than they had previously. Dan says, I suggest we stop worrying about the Eurovision. Ireland will never win again. We are out on the edge of Europe. Our only natural voters are our neighbours in Britain, unlike our central European neighbours. Just enjoy it. Forget about winning it. Sandra from Sweden here. We better listen to this. I think it's time for Ireland to stop thinking of the Eurovision as picking a Eurovision song. In Sweden, we go all out picking the best song in the country. I loved the Irish power ballads. The entire of Europe do. There you go. Camille O'Sullivan or Jack L says Vincent would be a great choice for Eurovision. Great singers, and they know how to really create a big tune with big stage production. All right, I'll try and get to a few more. You can keep them coming in 51551 or email ray@rte.ie. But now it's time for this. Yes, it is our whodunit quiz, and we have got two people who are ready to answer three questions. It could be on anything: music, sport, books, politics, comedians, and we are going to give them clues. So if they choose to answer without a clue, they get 2 points. However, if they opt for a clue because it's slightly easier and they get it right, that will get them 1 point on the board. And the prize they are playing for today, well, this week we've teamed up with Mayo North Tourism to give away some lovely breaks. It is on a rugged part of the Wild Atlantic Way, breathtaking natural coastal landscape and miles of pristine beaches to explore. North Mayo is a year-round destination. So today we are giving away a two-night stay with breakfast each morning and dinner on one evening in the stylish award-winning Ice House Hotel overlooking the River Moy and the woodlands beyond. It is a gorgeous escape from the ordinary with a bounty of beauty, adventure and history right on the doorstep. So you can visit mayonorth.ie to find out more. And the answer we were looking for today was which George is in Wham. And of course the answer is George Michael. And two people that got it right today are Mary and Una. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Mary, they tell me that you are player number one. Where are you calling from today?
I am just outside Gorey.
Oh, lovely part of the world. I know it well. And what are you up to today?
I'm just cleaning the house now. have a big barbecue tomorrow for my father-in-law's birthday. Yes, I'm just cleaning up the house here.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. And what about anybody else in the house? Had you any leaving cert or junior certs or anything like that?
I didn't have any myself, but I'm a teacher, so I'm off for the summer. So not that I had any.
Okay.
Yeah, children now, but I had a few, good few students doing the leaving and the junior cert, yeah. So fingers crossed now they've got on well.
Okay, and what do you teach? What subjects?
Irish and business studies.
Okay, and the feedback was they were kind of happy enough?
Yeah, they seemed happy enough, yeah.
Good.
Definitely, yeah.
Happy days. All right, and any plans for the summer?
We are going over to England for a week. We're getting the ferry over and we're going over to the Cotswolds.
Lovely.
We want to try and visit Diddley Squat, Jeremy Clarkson's restaurant.
Okay, I've not heard of that. Diddley Squat.
Yeah, so Clarkson's
Brilliant.
Farm. I think it was on, oh God, I don't know, Netflix or Apple TV or one of those things.
Okay.
So we watched it and then said,
oh, very
yeah,
good.
On a whim, we booked the ferry over to England.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to give that a little look up later on and have a nose at that. All right. Well, you stay on the line, Mary. Una Riley, where are you calling from today?
Hi, Catherine. I'm Raharney in County Westmeath.
Fabulous. And what are you up to this afternoon?
I'm prepping for a barbecue for this evening.
Okay. Ladies, you've been busy.
In the rain.
I know. Is it raining in Meath? Obviously it is there.
Yeah, Westmeath. Yeah, we're in Westmeath. Yeah, it's raining away. Yeah.
Okay. Have you got a bit of an old tarpaulin you can put up, or are you going to be running in and out in the rain?
I think I cook outside and everybody else eat inside. I think that's the plan. Yeah.
It's always the way, isn't it? You put the plans yeah. in place. It's been roasted all week. And the one time you're having people over, is it just family? How many are you having over?
It's family. There were 15 of us all together. It's my sister's birthday.
Oh, so. Okay. Okay. And leaving cert was big in your house as well?
Yes. My son Finan, he's in an exam at the moment actually.
Okay.
How
are the stress levels? How's he doing?
He's cool.
Okay. How are you doing?
He doesn't do stress. I'm okay. I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Third one to go through leaving cert. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You're well practiced. And we're going to wish him, it's his 18th birthday next Friday. So let's wish him a big happy birthday from all of us here. Okay. Una and Mary, if you want to wish each other the best of luck, ladies.
Best of luck, Mary.
Okay, Mary, we are starting with you as contestant number one. And our first category is music and particularly Irish singers. Okay, that's what we are looking for today. So 1 point with a clue, 2 points for no clue. What do you think, Mary? How are you on the music stakes?
I'll go no clue anyway for the first question.
For the first one, give it a lash. All right, all you got to do is tell us who this is. Yes, Samantha Mumba, that's the right answer, Mary. Well done, you. Love her. Gotta Tell You is the name
love
of that
her.
Track. Are you a fan, obviously?
I am. Yeah, I met her actually in the Ashdown and Gory one day.
Oh, brilliant. She's a good head. All right, Una, we are coming to you next. So Mary has 2 points on the board. Your category is also music. Irish singers is what we are looking for as well. So 1 point with a clue, 2 points for no clue. Una, what do you think?
Oh, I got no clue.
No clue. All right. To try and get 2 points on the board, who is this? I'd rather choke on my bad decisions than just carry them to my grave. You're in my head, always, always, always. Who's that, Una? Need an answer.
Hard luck.
Gavin James is who we were looking for there. Hard luck, Una. Not to worry, there is still plenty of time. Okay, Mary, we are coming back to you, and our second category is film characters. Okay, so we want the name of the character. What do you think? 1 point with a clue or 2 points for no clue?
I'll stick with no clue at the moment.
No clue. All right, Mary, this is for 2 points on the board. Who is this? And again, we want the name of the character.
Must have the precious. They stole it from us. Sneaky little hobbitses. Wicked kids. pretty. First. Master. Yes. Precious.
Who's that, Mary?
Is the character Schmiegel? I don't know how to pronounce Schmiegel.
Oh, no. Hard luck. Oh, it was Gollum. That
Gollum
is
from Lord of the Rings.
Yes, Gollum from Lord of the Rings. That is who we were looking for. Hard luck. Not to worry, Mary. Hang in there. Una, we are coming back to you.
Okay.
And the second category. Oh, sorry. Neil is on the line. We have been told, Mary, we can accept Smeagol.
Okay.
Yes, it is correct. Okay. So that means, Mary, yes. Well done, you. We were looking for Gollum, but we can accept your answer. So that means you have 4 points on the board. Brilliant stuff. Una, pressure is on now.
Pressure
is on now. So our second category is film characters again. So what do you think? 1 point with a clue, 2 points for no clue. You kind of got to go for the no clue, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Again, it is film characters. Who is this?
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Who's that, Una?
I have not a clue.
Oh, hard luck. It was Willy Wonka. That is who we were looking for there. So unfortunately, that means, Una, you do not win the prize today, but we will be sending you a fabulous Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup. So we'll be getting that out to you. And listen, enjoy the barbecue this afternoon.
Okay, well done, Mary. Okay.
Well, thanks, Una.
Thanks a million.
Fair play. Mary, you are off to North Mayo. You are off to the Ice Hotel for a lovely weekend break. So congratulations.
Oh, thanks so much, Catherine. Can I wish my father-in-law, Paddy Stanley, a happy birthday this weekend?
You can, of course. Happy birthday, Paddy, from all of us as well. Who do you think you'd be taking with you, Mary?
I'll have to take my husband.
You will. You will, you will.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, listen, well done. Happy Friday to you. Enjoy the barbecue. Stop cleaning the house, put the feet up now and pour yourself something nice.
Yes, I think you're dead right. Thanks a million, Catherine.
Take care.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now it is Friday, so who better to have in for a chat than James Kavanagh and William Murray, lads?
Hello,
it is good to see you.
Good to see you too.
And I'm surprised that you're here, because every time I look on Instagram and you're running around, you're, whether it's the Kurrabini food van or whether it's podcasts or TV shows or up and down to Cork.
Mini breaks. Always on a holiday.
That used to be me. That used to be me back in the day. But listen, thanks a million for popping into us. So how is life? What's been going on? I mean, I know I'm dying to talk about Grá on the Traw as well. You were down in Waterford filming that.
Yeah, and the weather was incredible. It was that spell we had like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I got so burnt, but it turned into a tan bit of aloe vera. It was fine. But yeah, we were filming in a house down in Waterford with 12 singletons all looking for love on the Traw.
So this is like the Irish Love Island meets Big Brother. That's how they're pitching this TV show.
Yeah, Grá Air on Traw, and basically six Irish speakers, six Birla speakers are paired up, and the Irish speaker has to teach the English speaker, and basically the couple with the most fuckle win.
Oh my god.
We overused that so much.
And I just have to ask, was a shift in galore going on?
Yeah.
Was it?
And honestly, we had to do an elimination. It was like 24 hours into it, and you know, you watch those shows like what's it, Married at First Sight, and they fall head over heels, and you're like, that wouldn't happen. There was tears.
Stop it.
24 hours into it, and people were bawling because they're like, they made such tight friends
in 24 hours.
In 24 hours.
That's what always gets me about Love Island as well. It's like they act like they're married.
It's so it feels so insincere.
It's like you've known each other for 3 days. I can confirm.
And I think it's maybe the situation they're in. It's an odd situation. They're being monitored. It's a bit intense. And they have loads of tasks. Like we were doing like an egg and spoon race, like real old school Gael talk kind of tasks they had to do. And there was a lot of shifting.
A lot.
Zoom.
And what what's your role in it? Are you far on tea or
I'm the man on tea. So myself and Shiva is my co-presenter. We're the kind of like fun ones, and then Grainne Shoga is like the kind of headmistressy kind of vibes.
I can see it.
Yes,
I can see it.
Yeah.
But listen, that same show like a one now. She's well up for the crack.
Oh yeah, big time. One of the guys actually in it was because they forget they're being filmed. Like, and he was like, Grainne left the room. We were all in the gallery, and he goes, "God, she's hot."
She is.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah.
And did you ever do Irish college? Like, I know there's lots of kids at the moment. William, did you ever?
I never did. And everyone I knew went down in Cork. Everyone goes down to Cape Clear, so that's the place to go. But I never went.
No, I
was so bad at Irish anyway, so I don't know would it have even worked. Does it work?
And you say Cork, because of course you're from Kirribinny.
I'm from Kirribinny in County Cork, yeah.
Which is the name of the food truck.
It is.
We are devastated in Dublin 8. You have left.
I know.
You have left us.
Yeah.
Where have you moved the van to?
So we're not too far. We're across the river in Collins Barracks at the museum there in the courtyard. Lovely location. We're there Wednesday to Sundays doing toasty sandwiches, salads, loads of different coffees, homemade lemonades, all sorts of things.
Yeah, we had strawberry lemonade this week, homemade. Oh.
And me and my barista Anthony were making elderflower cordial today. We got all our elderflower from James's brother John's
garden.
So shout out
it's all
to John.
In bloom.
Okay.
Get yourself some elderflower.
Happy days.
Yeah.
Oh, now you've got me thinking, because the two ladies I was talking to earlier on the competition there, they were getting ready for the barbecue. Mm. So give me some inspo for the weekend. Have you like a summer recipe, kind of salad-y?
I do. And you know what? I'm not the biggest barbecue person. I like to receive the barbecue food, but I'm not generally the one doing it.
Apron on and sweat, because it's a lot of work if you're in charge of the barbecue, isn't it?
I think so.
You can't join in. No.
Yeah.
It's kind of a solitary, you're over there.
Yes.
It's for dads.
Yeah. It's for people who just don't want
to
interact.
And I wouldn't want to take that away from them.
Yeah.
But I love, at the moment, Irish strawberries are great, but Irish tomatoes are sort of in season. There's only 8 tomato producers in Ireland who are commercially available. So, and if you notice in the supermarkets, you'll see a lot of strawberries from as far away as Australia, lots from Holland.
He's obsessed with strawberries.
Yeah, he says strawberries.
Did I say strawberries? Tomatoes. But the important thing is to look for Irish tomatoes. They are in most of the supermarkets. You just have to kind of look for them. So try and buy Irish tomatoes. I like to make a tart tatin, super easy, and it looks really impressive. So you make a sort of a buttery, sugary, bubbly with some balsamic vinegar sort of a concoction on your pan. Loads of thyme. Cut the tomatoes. People are going to make a strawberry tart tatin.
Which would work equally as well.
Cut the tomatoes and then just put a store-bought puff pastry on top into the oven. 30 minutes later, you flip it over on the plate.
Delicious.
And you've got a strawberry, more thyme on top. Got a lovely,
you put goat's cheese on it once, didn't you?
Goat's cheese. You can do goat's cheese.
So
have a little
delicious.
Garden
and
salad.
Easy. And do you use different coloured Irish tomatoes?
You can use different sizes. As long as they're all cut in half. Cook them cut side up and then leave them cool a bit before you put the pastry on top. And then into the oven for 30 minutes. And then, flip it over on a big plate. And you should have a beautiful tart tatin.
So pretty.
Gorgeous. The other thing that I was reading about is an exciting, you guys are moving back to Cork. I know there's not a date set yet, but will it be around the Kirribinny area or?
Do you know what? If I could afford to live in Kirribinny, I would go there in a heartbeat, but probably not Kirribinny. It's such a small place and there's almost nothing there at the moment. So we're looking out into the countryside, a lot of East Cork. We love Ballycotton. We love Middleton. We love, obviously we both went to Ballymaloe, so we know a lot of people down that location. even West Waterford we would consider.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be Cork.
Yeah,
that sounds like you would only consider it if Cork didn't work out.
No, I actually, I love
Waterford listeners.
I love Rhine Ardmore.
Waterford's fab.
Yeah, I love Rhine Ardmore, yeah. Dungarvan. All those places are so gorgeous.
And the cameras are already following this journey.
It's
because
actually,
James doesn't go anywhere without a camera.
No, without a crew. No. Where's my crew?
Where's the crew?
Yeah, we're filming.
But this is a show that I would watch because, I mean, a lot of people are in that situation trying to buy or trying to build. So give us the lowdown.
Yeah, so we're in the middle of filming and it's basically documenting our journey, basically. Okay. Everything, like we're doing the mortgage process and stuff in the show.
And we're very green. We have no idea how to do anything. It's two idiots who live in Dublin trying to move down to the countryside.
Yeah,
basically.
So it's foolproof. Like I would like to be watching the show to learn how it's done.
Yeah,
like we're hooked up with an estate agent, a brilliant estate agent down in Cork, and we're up and down the country looking at new builds. One amazing house we visited was the Black House on Instagram. I don't know if you've ever come across this. It's called the Black House. It's near Cork Airport and it's kind of like this black barn structure. It's brilliant. It's beautiful. But the idea is we're kind of gathering inspo from loads of different types of houses. Like we're going up to Derry soon to was it a home of the year?
It was on Grand Design's Home of the Year. It's the guy who built the sort of cantilever at the bottom of his farm with the shipping containers. We're going to talk to him, so I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
And so in an ideal world, would you like to build or are you going to convert? Or
we want to build, but the thing is you can't actually just, if you're not from the local area, you can't actually just move to the countryside.
I didn't realize this.
They don't want people living out in the middle of the countryside, so you have to find somewhere that has a bit of a building on it, a bit of a derelict something on it, and then you can get planning permission. But if it's just a field in the middle of nowhere, you generally can't do it unless you're a person from the area in need of housing. And there's all sorts of reasons for that, which we'll talk about on the show. We also talked to a mortgage broker. We talked to estate agents. Yeah. We talked to people who built houses. So there's going to be a lot of different aspects
there.
To it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I love like snooping around houses.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
I
a
mean,
kind of
right
a dream.
Up your street. Yeah. And I mean, like shows like Grand Designs, like House of the Year.
I eat them up.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
But I actually like the idea of the fact that you're trying to get inspiration and learn about the whole process of whether it's built, what has to happen with renovations, what has to happen with listed houses, what has to happen with mortgage.
And there's so much we didn't realise, you know.
Like, what's the biggest thing that you would have learnt, or what was the biggest,
there's a lot of things about building costs that, I mean, things have gone up in price so much. Like, we're talking to a lot of people who build their own houses, but they're kind of like, they couldn't even tell us how much we would need because everything has gone up so much.
So it's every 6 months.
So it's sort of in the unknown, you know, we don't know how much a builder will cost. We don't know how much the materials will cost because everything is going up so quickly.
And it's most of the people we were visiting down the country, they got the land from like their farm or their auntie gave them a piece of land. So
so we're kind of being like crossing things off our wish list, being like, okay, maybe we don't need a swimming pool. Maybe we don't need stables.
Maybe we don't need
a sauna. Maybe we don't need, you know. So
I guess what I've really, my eyes have been opened. We were very much like Cork, this specific area of Cork. But from travelling around, like as we said, we're looking at Waterford. Our barriers are kind of getting bigger, if you get me. I was very much like, I want to see you in Cork with an acre. You know what I mean? I was very specific, but I'm kind of way more open
now. You literally
need
a million for that.
An acre isn't that small.
No.
That's what I've learned.
I couldn't have imagined you living out of Dublin, James.
Yeah.
But, you know, I suppose with the pandemic and everything else, like, was that always in your vision?
No. I wanted to be like Carrie Bradshaw in Manhattan when I was younger. I was like, I always wanted to maybe move to London as well. And then I guess from meeting William and spending so much time down the country. You enriched my life with countryness. But I fell in love with it. And I actually, I'm happier when I'm down in not just Cork, but I'm happier in the countryside. I really am.
I went to a boarding school in the
middle of nowhere, so maybe that kind of planted a little bit of a seed.
We live
in
a wonderful country for it as well, because nothing, roads are getting better and stuff, and nothing is
too far away.
Too far away.
Yeah.
And if you only have to be in Dublin every now and again, why live here when you can live somewhere that you get more for your money? And I think, and be in the countryside, not that Dublin isn't wonderful, but I kind of think when you're living in Dublin, you don't necessarily do all the things that, you know, you think you do. I can't wait to like not live here and come up to Dublin and like
be excited
about Dublin and go to that restaurant that I always talk about going to, or go see a show, or you know, some theatre and all those kind of things that I never do living here. So
I just want chickens as well.
Oh, you want chickens as well? I love it.
Dying
I love
for some
it.
Chickens.
And I think, James, even listening to you saying that a move back or a move out of Dublin, because you spoke very openly about your anxiety and panic attacks.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel calmer when you are out of the city and out of the kind of the busyness?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I did go through quite a bad patch. I'm on medication for it now, which is great, and you know, I've changed a lot of bits and bobs in my life, and you kind of manage it because it's always kind of there, but I'm managing it now, and I think talking is so important. Like when I first started, that's the thing about anxiety, everyone kind of has something. Like when you first start talking to your friends, they're like, yeah, I have something too, I have something too, so you become less, if you feel less alone in a way, it's kind of like the anxiety club or something, you know what I mean?
I know.
There's a nice, in a weird way, it's nice to know other people are suffering, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's so helpful when people like yourself and
you feel so alone when you're going through it, you know.
You know what, I'd love to get you back in and actually have a proper chat with you about
defo.
It. So, because unfortunately we are out of time, but it is a pleasure. You always put a smile on my face when I see you. So good luck with everything. Can't wait to see the new shows.
Yes.
Thanks for having us.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thanks for your company this week. Ray is back on Monday. Sarah and Cormac are next on Drive Time. Have a great weekend, folks.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.